Luke chapter 15, and we're going to commence at verse 11. Luke 15 and verse 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." And we never read that they stopped. Trust that God will bless his word again to each of our hearts. We saw that in this beautiful chapter, there are three stories. First of all, we have the story of the lost sheep. Then we have the story of the lost coin. And thirdly, we have what has come to be called the story of the prodigal son. We saw that what produced these stories from the Lord Jesus was the criticism of the Pharisees and the scribes against the Lord Jesus. You see, the publicans and sinners drew near to the Lord Jesus to hear him. And the scribes and the Pharisees said, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." It was said in scorn, and yet it was absolutely true. In fact, if it wasn't true, we wouldn't be here tonight. We wouldn't have a gospel to present you to you tonight. "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And so he gave us these three stories in order to illustrate for us why it was he came into the world. So he told the story of the lost sheep. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And so we learned in that particular story why it was he came down from heaven. He had come to seek and to save that which was lost. And it was for that reason the Lord Jesus went all the way to the cross and voluntarily laid down his life. I know they took him and they bound him and they led him away, but they couldn't have done it if he had not allowed it. After all, he had walked on a storm-tossed sea. He had raised the dead. There were other occasions when they sought to kill the Lord Jesus that they were not able to do so. His time was not yet come. And so we saw why it was he came. Then we looked at the story of the lost coin. We wondered what there was about that coin that made it mean so much to that woman. I suggested last night that its monetary value was not enough to buy a cup of coffee from Starbucks. It was worth very, very little. But it was of immense value to her. So much so that she took a lamp and took a broom and swept through the house, and she would not stop sweeping through the house until she found the coin. You see, it was one of 10. It was a set. Possibly, as I suggested, it was a necklace or something of that nature. Maybe it was an heirloom left by her mother, or maybe it was something that her husband had given her when they had married. And so it was of immense value to her. You know, we're not worth too much. I think about the publicans and the sinners. I'm sure they were made very, very aware that they were not worth much. And yet they were of such value to God. And so there we have the story that presents to us why the Lord Jesus sent the Holy Spirit into the world. The Holy Spirit uses the Bible, that's the lamp, uses the Bible to bring to the attention men and women their need as sinners, and informs them that Christ died for them on the cross, and all they have to do is receive Him by faith as Savior. Now, the sheep was lost because it had gone astray. The coin was unaware of the fact that it was lost. You know, it's bad enough to be lost. It's even more dangerous when you don't even know that you're lost. So I trust that there is nobody here this evening that has not come to the realization that they are lost, because you can never be saved until you realize you're lost in the first place. And so now we come to the story of the prodigal son. Beautiful story. I want you to notice, first of all, that in actual fact, this was a true story. It says, a certain man had two sons. You get expressions like that a lot in Luke's gospel. And I believe that every time you read of a certain man, it's in actual fact a life story. It's a true story. But the Lord Jesus uses the story to illustrate the truth of the gospel. What man, having two sons, it says. A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. I would judge that he had reached the age of 30 years. That's when a child in the home became a son. And so he wanted his inheritance given him at that time. The next thing I want you to notice is it says, he divided unto them his living. In other words, not only did the younger son receive his inheritance, but the older son received his inheritance at the same time. What that tells me is this: once they had received their inheritance, they were no longer the obligation of their father. They had received what was due unto them. And so the next thing we discover is this foolish choice that the younger son made. Not long after, it says. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey and went into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Interesting to me that this young man had come from a home where he had at least a father. We're not told about a mother, but he at least had a father who really cared. But he left home. I guess he thought things weren't bright enough at home. Things were too dull at home. There were bright lights out there. There was so much out there he wanted to enjoy for himself. You know, I remember hearing the story of Willie Mullen from Ireland, a Baptist preacher. He said he was traveling through the city of Belfast at 1 o'clock in the morning. And he saw a young woman standing on a street corner. And he said, I knew why she was there, but I stopped anyway. And he went back and he spoke to her and he said, young woman, I'm here to tell you that there's a far better life than this. And he told her about the cross. The tears rolled down her cheeks. And she informed him that she had come from a home where her parents were Christians. In fact, her father was an elder in an assembly in Ireland. And she had got away from home. And here she was on a street corner, selling her body. I guess when she left home, it never occurred to her how far away she could get. Well, that's the story of the prodigal son. I'm sure he really appreciated his father and his father's care. But there was so much more out there. And he wanted what the world had to offer him. And so he went into a far country. It never occurred to him how far he would go. But there was a famine in the land. You know, while he had his money, he had lots of friends, I'm sure. And he would be very, very good in handing out his money so his friends could have a good time. But when the famine came, he lost all his friends. Now he was on his own. You know, that was the best thing that could happen to him. Was that famine. To bring that man to a realization that the world out there had really nothing to offer him. I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they mocked me as I wailed. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. And so now all his money's gone. And so he's hired by a man to feed pigs. And his position becomes so destitute that he wished he could even eat of the chaff that the hogs were eating. And we read, no man gave unto him. All his friends were gone. He'd got as far down the tube as he could possibly get. He'd got right away from God in the far country. I don't know about you. Maybe some of you younger ones, you're just waiting for the day when you reach 18 years of age or whatever it is, and you decide you're going to leave home and you're going to live your life. You're going to do what you want to do and you're going to have your fun. Well, I can inform you now, you're going to find that things out there are not altogether what they appear to be. And you have no idea how far away from God you might get. Sometimes I speak about the other prodigal from Luke chapter 23. I understand that Bishop Lightfoot, who was one of the foremost scholars in biblical languages, made the statement that the repentant thief's words were the best Greek in the New Testament. He was a man who had been well educated, so he had parents who really cared for him. Not only so, it becomes obvious that he knew the scriptures. He knew to expect the Messiah. He knew that the Messiah would suffer. He knew that the Messiah would rise again from the dead. And he knew that the Messiah was going to go back to heaven. Because if he didn't go back to heaven, how could he come in his kingdom? He knew all that. And when he left home, he had no idea just how far away he was going to get. And here he was, at the end of his rope, so close to dying. And he took his last opportunity, and he said to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." So here's this man, I would presume a younger man. And there he is sitting amongst the pigs, wishing he could eat of their food. And then it says, and when he came to himself, that's a good place to get to. He came to his senses, we would say today. He said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, and I will go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." So he came to himself. He came to the realization that he had been utterly foolish in the choice that he had made. He came to understand that his sin was against God. Do you know that every sin we commit is a sin against God? It's an affront against God. You've sinned against God. We've all sinned. And we all come short of the glory of God. Oh, that you might come to your senses and to the realization of your need. But listen, the very fact that he sat down and he came to his senses and he said what he did nothing to save him. It only expressed his realization of his need. He actually had to get up and go. He had to go to his father. And so then the story is taken up back in the father's house. And I can imagine his father on the roof of the house. Likely every day his father went to the roof of the house and he would look along the trail where his prodigal boy had gone, wondering when his boy would come home again. And the moment he saw his figure on the horizon, he knew immediately who he was, even though his clothes now were rags. And he was hardly more than a skeleton of a person. He knew immediately who it was. And it says he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I remember hearing the story of a similar young man who'd got away from home. Went and lived a profligate life. His life was so sinful that he was convicted by his own sinfulness. And he decided he was going to go home. So he wrote a letter in advance to his parents. And he said that he was going to be passing their house on the train at a particular time. You see, their house backed onto the railway track. And he said, "If I'm welcome to come home, I want you to hang a white handkerchief from the old apple tree to let me know that I'm welcome to come home." And so the day comes and he's traveling on the train. Another man is sitting opposite him and this man notices how anxiously he's looking out of the window. And so he asks him his story. And the young man tells him his story. And so the two of them are looking out the window for the apple tree. And the stranger saw the apple tree first. And he said, it's all white. The parents had taken all their tablecloths and whatever they had that was white, and they completely covered the apple tree to make the boy know he was welcome home. Listen, dear friend here tonight, you cannot possibly go so far into sin that God will cease to love you and that he will be unwilling to save you. While you have life and breath and the capability of thinking and making choices, you can be saved. Listen, when Christ died on the cross, he died for you to make salvation available to you. And so the Son comes home. I've heard it said, and I'm sure it's true. This is the only time in the Bible that you read about God being in a hurry. As the father runs to his prodigal boy and falls on his neck and kisses him. And so the son begins his spiel. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He confesses his sin. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. The father says, stop. That's enough. I don't need to hear any more. Said to the servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was lost and is found, was dead and is alive again. And they began to be merry. I want you to notice something. In the story of the lost sheep, what did the sheep do to find itself? Nothing. Because the first parable is all about the work of the shepherd. The fact that Christ came to pay the price of sin. In the second story, the lost coin, what did the coin do to find itself? Absolutely nothing. It didn't even know it was lost. And even had it known it was lost, it didn't have a mouth to cry out for help. It didn't have legs to be able to move. It was all about the work of the woman, a picture of the work of the Holy Spirit in the human heart. But in this third parable, what did the father do to find his son? Nothing. He just waited. Watched the hill to see his boy returning. You see, in this part of the parable, the emphasis is upon what you and I have to do. You see, it was the son that said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. It was the son that went into the far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. And it was the son that said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. This parable stresses what you and I have to do. You know, I've heard about a particular tract, and on the outside it says, what must I do to be saved? And you open it up, and inside you see two blank pages. And then when you look at the back, it explains. Well, personally, I think that gives a false impression. Because there is something we must do to be saved. When Paul and Silas were asked the question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They didn't say nothing. It's all been done for you, and it certainly has all been done. They said, believe. Believing is a choice. You have a choice to make, my friend. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thank you very much. The Lord bless his word.